Hey, KT from KT Got Game here. We're back from a two-week hiatus, talking a lot of NCAA tourney, Florida Gulf Coast, Louisville in the injury, and then their run to the Final Four. Trey Day Burke, my guy from Michigan, making big-time shots in a big-time atmosphere. Richard Pitino, you heard right, Richard Pitino, not Rick Pitino of Louisville, but his progeny, former coach of the Florida International Panthers, current coach of Minnesota Golden Gophers. Don't ask me why. Some Final Four matchups, and then a little bit about Rice and the coach from Rutgers and his terror of rain for 2 years over the Rutgers players. NBA, Kobe. Zach still thinks Kobe's on steroids. Way to go, Zach. Talk a little bit about Spurs, and then a little bit about the playoff picture. Get into a little bit of Gary Payton and Kidd, Russ Smith versus Trey Burke, and then who should get the Kings, Seattle or Sacramento. Stay tuned. This is KT from KT Got Game.
To the top, wait for a bit or more. Seesaw on summit that you've never seen before. It came back, reversed, money proof for what it's worth.
I know you saw the Rutgers footage.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was ridiculous, man.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing, but it's to me, and for you guys out there, we're talking about the, I think his name is Kevin Rice,
Yeah. The
Rutgers coach. 2 minutes on YouTube. You've probably seen the video if you're listening to the show. The guy is just he's a terror, man. He's a terrorist, dude. Now, I mean that in every sense of the word because I don't mean to make light of, you know, what we, you know, terror
right,
in the
right,
United States.
Right,
but
right.
He, you could look at the tape and tell that those boys were frightened. And that's not people think that that's coaching. It's not coaching, man. It's not coaching.
You could tell that the players knew it was commonplace for them to get pelted with balls, to get physically assaulted, and just be verbally assaulted.
And how much had they gone through to be immunized to it? To like,
right.
You know what I mean? To you think 2 years, and they're like, oh, this is just what coach does. Like, when is it ever appropriate to throw a basketball at somebody's face?
And it's probably, yeah, like you said, they've built up a tolerance to this, to his behavior. And I wanted to ask you that as a Division I basketball player and have played, when you watch that, what, like, in that situation, what would the 19-year-old KT, would you have done?
Yeah, I had a conversation with a couple other D1 basketball players. You're going to take it, right? And the thing that, well, everybody was on Facebook talking about what they would do, what they wouldn't do, I said, listen, it's easy to say what you would do in any situation, right?
Right.
Like, we talk about Charlize Theron, like, oh, if I ever saw her, I would holler at her. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
right.
Then it happens, you're like, wait a minute. So my thing
you.
On Facebook to a couple of the guys that hadn't played, it's like, look, we talked about this last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago. Every D1 football basketball player thinks that they have a shot, right?
At
making a league. Even I knew I was playing at a small, small school. Jabbar was playing at a small, small school. You still feel like I'm out here, I'm in the game, I have a shot to, you know, to make
right.
it. You're not going to jeopardize that, especially if you're not LeBron James or Trey Burke or some big-time player who has leverage. If you're at a small school at Rutgers, nobody really knows you. So
right.
you're not going to jeopardize your shot at playing time. And that's why he was able to get away with that. And the players at Rutgers, if they're being honest – or any other player that's dealt with it. He's not the only coach that does that, man.
Right. And, you know, I would also think that looking at your future, even if you know that you may have that small shot of going to play professional basketball, a lot of it is, look, this is my scholarship on the line. You know, there's other things that
right.
go into this. So my college is being paid for free.
Right.
And I'm going to just put up with it and deal with it. Does that make it okay? No, it doesn't. And I think that that we have to realize that that isn't coaching. And I think that a good coach knows how to motivate
right.
his players. So, yeah, you know, Bobby Knight was off the hook. He probably did some of the same antics that Rice did.
Probably.
But I'm pretty sure he did. But what I'm saying is a good coach, he knows who to scream at. He knows who to nurture.
Right.
He knows who to – it's just not a my way or the highway type deal, or this is my personality.
Right. And I juxtaposed when I saw the video, Zach, I juxtaposed that with my guy, who's the guy with the model wife? What's his name? The guy at Florida Gulf Coast.
Oh, yeah. I know you. Yeah.
Infield. Andy Infield.
Right.
We don't have practice footage of him, but after they beat Georgetown, when he came in the locker room and how the players embraced him, I said, this is before I even saw the Rutgers footage. Just when I saw that, him talking to his team after the game, they were really excited after the Georgetown win, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this players love him. Like, this is a player's coach. I could just tell, because I've been in there, I could tell how they embraced him, how they were so excited. And it's not like that doesn't happen all the time, a 15 beats a 2 or a lower seed beats a 3.
Right.
They're always happy,
right.
But it was something about how they embraced him, how he talked to them after the win. I was like, nah, these guys love this dude, and this dude knows what he's doing. And then lo and behold, the next game, you know, after the reporters got into what they do, he's an NBA coach. He coaches it. They don't practice every day. He coaches his team like the NBA, which means that they go hard, but they're not practicing for 3.5 hours.
Right.
And he gives a hit. He runs his offense like an NBA offense, where it's really read and react, more freedom and less let me have control. And I was like, I knew it. Like, I knew from just watching that that's what kind of coach he was. And that's a good coach, man.
That is a good coach. And I think that it showed how, like, you wanted to watch their games.
You did.
And
yeah,
I mean, I'm DVRing the games. I like the point guard getting
they?
In the lane. They're throwing alley-oops. You know, because when you watch the college game, I'm like, man, these dudes seem like they're just in a box. And this guy just, kind of free will. You can kind of, like read and react. I thought that was good. But I also want to make a point about Rice, too, just in terms of, I think a lot of programs are going with, like, younger transformational leaders, you know, people who can kind of relate to the kids. And because at the end of the day, they're young adults, right? You know, so Rice wasn't treating them like young adults. And it was crazy. He just really, the kid from Lithuania, he was there for 2 years. He said he couldn't take it no more.
Broke.
You know what I mean? Calling them, you know, gay slurs and all that. I just don't, it's just not necessary, man.
And you think, I don't know where maybe that's something that's just how he grew up or whatever, but I don't know any leader in any industry that would think I'm going to tell you a story. This was probably one of my best business school professors. And he told me, he was a management professor, he was a genius, was executive vice president of Kraft, really rich dude, really successful. He called me in his office one time because we were kind of close. I was like he's like a mentor for
mm-hmm.
me. And he was talking about leadership and managing people. And he said, you never want to degrade someone in public. You need to do it in private. Call them into your office because people get embarrassed. And when they mm-hmm. get embarrassed, they either get angry or they shrink, right?
Yep,
like they shrink down. In any state, either one, it's not good for what you want to do. And then you always praise in public. And I've always remembered that, right? Like, and I think that when you're a coach, sometimes you have to, you know, you have to kind of do it in public. So it may not necessarily apply. But I think the best leaders get that. Like you said, you know who you're talking to. Maybe this guy I can yell at because it'll roll off his back.
Right.
Or I'm yelling at him because it's going to motivate him. He
exactly.
wants me to yell at him.
Right.
But most guys don't want to be cussed. Most guys can deal with yelling, but the personal name calling, and I'll tell you a story off air, but the personal name calling, guys, and city guys, come on, man.
You're not going to degrade me. Like, you can barely point in my face, let alone call me a name.
Exactly right. That's not flying, man. So you get these boys from the East Coast, New York, Philly, Boston, D.C. I can tell you probably a few of them wanted to punch him in the face, but they
definitely
wouldn't because that ruins what we just talked about. That ruins their career. But I think, for me, and we'll move on, I think that this just shows that these guys are professionals.
Yep.
This whole student-athlete thing is just, it's so much of a crock.
Oh, man.
You can't watch that tape and say that those are kids, those are college kids. They let that go. And then, Zach, the AD and president knew about it in December. This is not new. They saw this in December, and they still let it go. And you're telling me that these are college kids? Come on, man.
And my last point on this, too, and why I really feel just a funny way about it is because the only reason why the AD is not getting fired is because he got them that lucrative deal to be in the new conference.
You think so?
Yeah, that's the only reason why he's not getting let go. He did a good job on that, so he's good for business. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
true.
At the end of the day, whatever the mishap or the or him or the oversight of him not firing this dude, they don't even care about because of what he's done in terms of business.
And
so I think that's pretty messed
and
up.
And you know
too.
What, man? I didn't even think about that, but he may have kept that quiet because that was around the time that they were
exactly
trying to finalize that whole Maryland Rutgers thing.
Exactly. So you already know that there's going to be politics behind
right.
that. And didn't Rutgers, didn't they go to the ACC? Aren't they part of the ACC
no,
now?
No, Rutgers is Big Ten, I think.
Big Ten.
Yeah.
They're in the Big Ten now.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, you know, that's more exposure
yep.
than where you were at before.
And this would not have been good to come out at the
exactly.
time that they were
it can't. So you know there's politics behind it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's...
You can't tell me that this is not a business. You can't tell me that this is not a business.
It's all
man.
About business.
All
man.
About business. All right, we're going to do a lot of Final Four talk, a lot of tournament talk, just because we've been off for 2 weeks. For those of you that are listening again, thank you for staying with us. Let's start with Trey Burke in Kansas, man. I was a little skeptical on him through the first two tournament games,
mm-hmm.
and even how he ended the postseason. But after KU, he showed me what he's all about, man.
That boy is
a big time player. Every step of the way. I watched the whole game. I thought, all right, Kansas. Okay, they can't. It's down to 9. Kansas is going to turn it on. It's down to 6. Kansas is going to turn. It's down to 3. And when they got the rebound, I thought, okay, well, there's no way their luck ends here. Burke squares up a 30-foot, like he wanted the shot. It wasn't like he just accidentally got it. He was like, nope, this is my shot. I'm taking it. And he stroked that biggity. I was like, I went crazy in my house, man. I was jumping up and down. It was a good shot, man. It was a good moment for college basketball.
Definitely. And I think I like Michigan's whole team personally. I like Hardaway. I like Robinson. I like how the generations of players are on their team. You know, they even got Horford.
I saw that.
They have like this generational thing going on with the team. But I do think Trey Burke is an awesome player. I think he's a very smart player. I wasn't too happy with how he turned the ball over, some of the mistakes he was making. But at the end of
the day,
the
Kansas game?
Yeah, he made a lot of like, you know, just mental mistakes. And that one boy, man, he shot the lights out. Oh, my goodness, man. What's the kid's name?
Oh, McLemore.
No, yeah, he can play too. But I'm talking there was a kid from Michigan who was struggling the ball too, man.
Stauskas.
Oh, my goodness,
Stauskas,
man.
The Canadian
just
guy.
Just a pure.
It's pure.
Oh,
again,
my
you
goodness,
mean against
man.
Florida?
Yes.
Yeah, he was 5 of 5 from the corner.
So
that's
he
a
was,
tough
yeah,
shot.
That's a tough shot. So
that's a tough shot.
I really like
pure.
I like the way they're playing. But Trey Burke, man, definitely, he's a stud.
Isn't it funny that they have all those NBA progeny on their team and Trey Burke, the guy with no NBA lineage,
right.
is like the best player.
That's
you know?
Perfect.
It is. It is. Hardaway Jr. has been a little disappointing for me. I'll be honest.
Yeah, he's
been
a
little disappointing. He started off the season strong, but I think for them to beat Syracuse, right?
Yeah.
For them to beat Syracuse and Louisville, Hardaway Jr. is going to have to be one of the top 3 or 4 players on the floor.
Yeah,
he
definitely.
Hasn't been.
About it is, I liked how Trey Burke was even mindful to get him that easy shot too. You remember that? So, like, he's struggling, so he passes it off. Because you got to see the ball go through the basket when you're struggling.
That's so true.
So, I think that Trey Burke, man, that just shows the point guard side. That shows that he can score the basketball. I think he's a great player.
You brought up McLemore. This was my first time really seeing him close up in personal for, like, a full game. I haven't really watched Kansas that much.
He was struggling in the tournament before this game.
He was struggling.
Yeah,
he was struggling. But even the – I saw enough against Michigan to say I would love for the Timberwolves to grab him.
Oh, yeah.
The dude is athletic.
Oh. Yeah.
His stroke, he has a very good mechanics for an athlete, right? Most guys that are athletes don't really shoot it that – their mechanics aren't really that good on the perimeter. Carmelo, notwithstanding, KD notwithstanding, but they're more jump shooters to
me. Right, right.
Like, McLemore's game looks like a slasher game, but I love the way he comes off screens. And the dude is athletic as heck.
Yeah,
man.
He's 6'6", 6'7".
He fits
long
in nice
man.
As a two guard in the league.
He'd be
he's
perfect.
He's gonna fit in nice.
He's gonna be a good player in the league.
Yeah,
definitely.
I would. I've been high on Shved just because we haven't seen a good two guard in about 8 years. But I would let him go and bring in McLemore
definitely.
if we could.
Definitely.
Of course, I'm sure you know, we'll find some way to draft some dude from Croatia or something.
The Eastern Bloc.
Yeah, we'll get one of
and
those.
It'll tell
guys.
Us how good he's going to be. But, no, I like – if you gave me a choice between McLemore and Burke, I love Burke. But McLemore's a, I like what I saw against Michigan.
I'm going to tell you who else has impressed me in the tournament that's in the Final Four. The kid from Syracuse. I think his name is like Michael Carter Williams
Michael Carter
or something
Williams,
like that.
Yeah.
That point kid, guard. Yeah, he's 6'6", and you put him at the top of that 2-3 zone, there's no space.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think the zone has been very effective. And usually I'm not a big fan of zone. And what I'm trying to get an understanding from you is, why is that zone so effective? I know that they're tall on the wing. They're tall on the perimeter. He runs the 2-3. It's a little bit different than just a base 2-3. It's kind of like a matchup.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, they got a few of them.
So there's a different variations
of
what they do.
Yeah, they have a few of them. So you're not always sure what, you know, for the novice, it feels, okay, they're in a 2-3 zone. But they may be in, like you said, a 2-3 matchup. They may be in a 2-3 trap, the perimeter. They may just be in your basic 2-3. So they Boeheim does it very well. Like, they have, you know, many variations of it. And I think what makes it work this year is obviously when you have length like that. You're going to be in a zone when you don't have defenders to play man-to-man. But the Syracuse's team could play man-to-man. They could full-court press. They could do whatever they want. And when you've got guys like that that can keep guys out of the paint in a 2-3 and they can match up. So, but the problem with it is that Michigan's got four guys that start that can shoot the three. Robinson Jr., Burke, Hardaway, and Stauskas. So they're going to have to, like, they may be able to extend that zone, and then that's when Trey Burke and Hardaway may be able to get to the basket. We'll see.
Now, Syracuse put Indiana out, right? Correct.
See,
yes. Syracuse put, but that's the thing about it is, I watched that game, and I'm thinking to myself, you're supposed to be able to shoot the three on a 2-3 zone, right?
Yeah.
Because it's more about, you know, it's more about protecting the lane and inside. But they couldn't even get a shot off.
Indiana
Jordan
was,
Halls, that kid, Halls, can shoot the basketball. I seen him light the Gophers up. So I'm thinking, oh, he's going to kill the 2-3 zone. He had no space.
Zach, they were poorly prepared.
And then they were. Yogi, you couldn't even keep their best point guard. He couldn't even stay in the game.
Yeah.
I said, man, are you kidding me? Yogi Ferrell had to go sit down.
What's the East African kid?
Oladipo.
He nothing. They were poorly
and you
poorly
know what?
Prepared.
And
man,
I'm so glad that I met through the disclaimer out there about Zeller. Oh, my gosh. He was super disappointing. I'm like, and you know, because Syracuse really isn't that big on the inside. They're just big. They're big on the perimeter.
Yeah.
So for him to not dominate, for him not to, you know.
I was disappointed. I was more disappointed than Tom Crean. But Raftery made a good point and said that it doesn't matter how much you, it's like Kentucky's press in the 90s. It doesn't matter how much you practice against your second team. Right, you can put your second team in a diamond and say, all right, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then you get out there and you got Antoine Walker, Tony Dell, Ron Mercer, Derek Anderson. And they don't look like your second team. These guys run and jump super fast, and everything that you practice goes to heck.
And that's exactly what Boeheim said. Boeheim was like, look, you can try to do that in practice, but you'll never be able to do it how we do
it. That's right.
And, you know, so I think I was just surprised. Like, I thought 2-3 zone, come on, man. Like, you find the middle, you kick it out, you get the 3-point shot. That none of that worked.
Yeah, it seems that simple. So who you got, man? Tell me about your Michigan Syracuse.
Man, that's a tough game. But that zone is just so tough. The way that I've seen these point guards struggle against Syracuse, that's the thing. You know what? I think Trey Burke is good enough, and I think Hardaway will have a good game. And you know what? The crazy thing about it, I think whoever wins that game wins the national championship.
Oh, no. You think Louisville?
Louisville
can be stopped?
I think they can be beat. But I'm telling you, that Syracuse, man, I'm going with Syracuse.
Okay, I'm going to say Hardaway Jr. needs to show up. I think he will show up. I think Hardaway Sr. needs to get a new cap. Because the Willie he wears is like, come on,
he's
Timmy.
He's wearing the Scully, man. Come
he
on,
is,
you know,
man.
Tim's hood, man.
Tim keeps it real. Tim keeps it 100. He does not care. I think Hardaway Jr. shows up. I think Burke is not as easily rattled by the zone. I think they have to worry about Stauskas. I don't think Indiana had a shooter that they've seen like Stauskas that gets it off and that's going to make it.
And that's tall.
And then I think the big boy inside wants to bang.
Yeah.
Mitch McGarry, he wants to bang. And I think
he
may
shoot the ball.
He can. I think he may be a trouble on second opportunities for Syracuse's
and also, if he gets in the middle of the zone, he can make something happen. Because he's quick on his feet.
He
can dribble. He can get to the basket. He can drive.
I was surprised.
So I don't think you're going to see what Zeller did necessarily. So if he gets into the middle of the zone, he can make something happen.
So who you got, Wichita State or Louisville?
Louisville's going to beat them.
I was telling a buddy of mine at work, Tony, you tell me what you think about this. I am okay with upsets in these low majors and mid majors all the way through the first week of the Sweet 16. After that, I want my stars in my big time teams. And you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I'm
not excited to see. Final Four weekend is a big deal for basketball players.
We're not excited for that matchup.
I'm not excited for that. I would much rather have seen Gonzaga in there. And somebody else that they beat somebody, right? Like LaSalle beat somebody else back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how they got here. But I would like Kansas. I would much rather see Kansas Louisville or Kansas North Carolina.
Even if Ohio State was there. You know what I mean?
They beat Ohio State.
Duke.
Or that's
right.
You know, any of those teams.
Yeah, like Ohio State. I want to see Ohio State because they have guys that are going to play in the NBA, and they're exciting to watch, and it would be a much better game.
But I'm going to tell you, some of that has to do with, you know, they can go in there and get smashed by Louisville. It wouldn't even be a game. You know that that's a possibility. But I don't know, man. Wichita's tough, though. Man.
No, they are. But, I mean, you know what I mean. It's like you think you're going to a play to see – Denzel Washington live and Denzel Washington and whoever else live. And then right before the play starts, they're like,
you get Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Anthony Mackie.
They're like, Denzel's
you're
sick.
You're not Denzel.
Anthony Mackie's here. He's going to fill in. You're like, oh, really? Okay. Just kind of that, like, Tedrick the Entertainer clap.
But I thought you liked Butler.
To me, Butler, I had started that year they made their run. Gordy Hayward, to me, was a big-time player. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I could tell right away, okay, this dude's going to play in the league. He's got handle. He had a crossover. I was like, I want to see Shelvin Mack, another guy that played in the NBA.
He plays in the league. Yep.
I don't think that – I've watched Wichita State. I don't think that they have any pros, man.
I got you.
So, we'll see. Richard Pitino, real quick. Richard Pitino, for you guys out there, has been hired. Richard Pitino is the son of Rick Pitino, the head coach of Louisville, formerly of the Kentucky Wildcats, Boston Celtics. Richard Pitino has been hired as the coach of our Minnesota Golden Gophers. Nothing against Richard Pitino. I just feel like he's 30 years old. Obviously, this is, in my mind, not nepotism per se, but he's famous. They hired him more for his name than they did for his game, if you will. And I just don't like it. I feel like if we were going to go the assistant coach route, then we could have found a better – if we were going to go the young coach route, we could have found a better young option that has done something substantial and not just went for a name. To me, it sounds like the guys over at Minnesota, they're making the decisions. Wanted Shaka? No. Wanted Brad Stevens? No. Wanted the guy from FGCU? No. Finally went to Flip? No. And then they were like, oh, shoot. Like, we didn't expect to get four no's. And now we got to do something quick. And then they were like, all right, let's get Pitino.
And this is the thing. I mean, you get Norwood Teague. He comes from VCU. So you're thinking when you see Tubby get fired, you're like, oh, this is a no-brainer. We're getting Shaka Smart, right?
Right.
No, Shaka is very smart. And what he did was he used the Gophers as a bargaining chip to boost his salary at VCU. So now he can say, okay, this is what the Gophers are offering me. So you're going to have to come with it. So now he gets a 10-year contract, very lucrative for him. So he just used the Gophers to get more money, it worked. And then, you know, you have Flip
Saunders. I don't
think
he wanted to come here anyway.
No, he didn't want to come here. We don't even have a practice facility.
Right.
So why – this job is not – this isn't
– It's not a big-time job.
It's not
like
a big-time job. It's not attractive.
To me, saying Minnesota outside of Minnesota is like saying Nebraska or Penn State.
You got to think about this. Hopkins Fieldhouse is better than what the Gophers are practicing almost right now.
Yeah. Who wants to practice in Williams?
Yeah, but to a kid,
right.
18-year-old kid, why do I want to go somewhere where my high school got a better workout facility than coming here? All that stuff matters. You know what I mean?
They should have done this back in the 90s. They should have built that back in the 90s when the Gophers were hot.
Clem was trying to do. That's what Tubby was trying to do. That never happened. So now you wanted Flip. You know why Flip didn't come here? Because Flip wanted to bring in all his assistants. They said, no, you can't bring all your assistants.
I didn't know that.
And that's why he left.
Are you serious?
I found that out from Larry Fitzgerald today, this morning.
Oh, yeah. that was the reason why.
Yeah, so that's the reason why he's not here.
Why wouldn't they
let
him bring his assistant?
I don't know. That's just ridiculous. And then you hire an AD. I'm bashing the Gophers right now because they deserve to be bashed. Am I right, Tone? They deserve to be bashed.
Why would you not let Flip in?
I don't know if the team does. Tubby does deserve to be bashed, and he has been bashed.
Yeah, he has. But what I'm saying is Tubby's laughing. He got paid $3.5 million to leave. And he just got a new gig at Texas Tech. Yeah. Tubby's good. He's on a high road, like Denny Green said. But I'm saying then you hire an athletic director. VCU didn't even have football. Yeah. So what does this guy know about? It's ridiculous.
My hope now is that, okay, we're here. I hope Richard Pitino can turn into something. I'm not excited. But now it's just about winning, right? Like, there's nothing he can do short of getting us in the top three in the Big Ten, getting us to a Sweet 16 in the next couple years. And I didn't hear that. I thought Flip just didn't want the gig. Nah. I thought Flip was salty because they went to Shaka and Brad Stevens first. And I thought, okay, well, I guess I could understand that. But I don't know why they wouldn't let him choose his assistants. That sounds silly.
And Minnesota has two of the top six recruits from 2014.
Yeah, so
they got Tyus Jones and they got Rashad Vaughn from Cooper. Those kids are amazing and can play the game of basketball. They're not coming here.
Well, let's see what Pitino can do.
Here's the deal. When you have Tom Izzo, who plays his tournament game, flies into Minneapolis to watch this kid play with John Calipari, he's not coming here.
Yeah, that's a pretty – Cal and Izzo and
when you Krzyzewski got those guys, those guys checking for you, and not to mention they're talking about that kid –
He could be a hometown hero, though, man.
Now they're saying that him and the number one recruit is a package deal because they like playing together. His name is Jahlil Okafor. So they're saying that Jahlil Okafor, wherever Tyus goes, and vice versa, wherever Jahlil Okafor goes, he's a forward. I think he plays – he's about 6'7", 6'8". Kind of similar to – yeah, so they're a package deal because they want to play together. They played on the national USA team together. You're not getting any of those guys, man. So, Wisconsin will continue to take our kids and all that. This is a fiasco, man. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the NBA. I'm disappointed now. Zach has done a great job in bringing me down even further. The flip story is disappointing.
He broke it down, though.
Yeah, the flip story. Did Zach give us some – he broke some news for us.
He broke some news
on the KT Guy Game podcast. That's
how I roll.
He came with it, man. I like it. All right, Lakers. I'm glad Jabbar's not here because I will put it in his face. My Lakers are back in the playoffs. It keeps going back and forth between them. They make me nervous sometimes because the Jazz are in based on tiebreaker, blah, blah, blah. But as of today, I checked before I came over, half game, I believe.
Yes,
half game.
All right. Kobe is on steroids. I just want to confirm that.
Yep. Confirmed.
I saw a dunk, and I thought it was a game where they retired Diesel.
Yeah.
I was half joking at first, but he looked like he was 25 again. Did you see the dunk?
Yeah, I did see the dunk.
Come on, man. That's ridiculous.
I'm going to have to be J-Dub. I have to be Jabbar because he's not here. So I'm going to say he's always been different. He's never been normal. So why would you say that he's on steroids?
KT, that's how he always is.
He's been like that. So, like I said, I'm in the middle because I could see how Jabbar could say that, but I could also see how you could say that too. But I'm, like I said, it's modern medicine. I ain't going to say he's on steroids. Okay. He's on modern medicine.
My thing is that Jabbar's argument would hold water if Kobe had been doing this the last 2 or 3 years. He hasn't. He has not been dunking like this. I would know. I love the dude. I watch all the Lakers games. Like, Kobe has not been doing this. So this is new to me, right? I mean, this looks like Kobe of old, man. And I just wish that Kupchak, Bus Jr., and even Daddy Bus, you rest in peace, at the start of the season would have put enough around him to get the most out of what he's given us this year. Because this looks like Kobe refreshed, but it's going to be a waste of year because they're not going past the first. They're not going past the second round of the playoffs.
Well, they're not going past the first round of the playoffs. They're done.
I think they beat the Spurs.
I thought they could beat the Spurs, but I just – it's something about the Lakers it's their perimeter defense. And that's one thing that Kobe has not done a great job of. You can't have Kobe Bryant guarding Tony Parker. Yeah, who's going to guard Tony Parker? You know what I mean? That's going to be the question. That's where it comes down to. If Ginobili's hobbled, that'll help them. But, yeah, it's still going to be tough for the Lakers, man.
I hope they're in. I think they just make for good
TV. They'll get in.
And they may, like I said, if it's the Lakers and the – I mean, if it's the Spurs and the Jazz, that's just four games that I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, I can't stand – I'm sorry. No. Just, I can't watch Utah.
And I hope they make it, too, just to watch that matchup.
I think David Stern, he'll say whatever he needs to say, but I can guarantee David Stern and the rest of the NBA, because they have revenue sharing.
Yeah.
They're going to say the Jazz and the Spurs is a wasted playoff series for anybody.
That's why he has the refs calling – calling the games for the Lakers right now.
That's a good. I'm glad you brought that up, Tone.
Not you, Tone.
No, you know what?
You can't say it's not a business.
If he's gonna say that, make the bold statement that Kobe Bryant's on steroids. There's no listen.
You guys are conspiracy theorists.
No, I'm basing this on facts. 2002, Tom Donaghy or Tim Donaghy, the referee scandal, basically cheated the Kings out of the championship. Game 6, everybody seen it.
Oh, is that what they said?
Oh my, no, these are facts.
Really?
Yeah, it came out that he, because they wanted that series to extend. So he called those games in Game 6.
You mean that one where Horry hits the three-pointer?
Yeah.
And they send him to the finals.
You don't remember when Kobe Bryant elbowed Mike Bibby and just there was no call?
I remember that.
Yes, that was all.
Was that Donaghy's call, though?
And it was all in his statement that he gave.
Oh, he admitted to it.
Yeah, he admitted to doing it.
Oh.
That dude had to do jail time for that. So all that
but
stuff
that
happened.
That wasn't Stern. That was Donaghy
man,
on
that's
his
what,
own with
yeah,
the mob.
Okay,
man.
I will say that. That's fine. But, there's some calls that always seem to go the Lakers' way.
That goes back. Game 6 of the 2002 Western Conference Finals between the Lakers and the Kings was fixed by two referees.
Yeah,
these are allegations by Donaghy.
Yeah,
what?
It's the truth. And David Stern has done a great job of suppressing that. Because that could really been the end
it
of
could,
the NBA.
But you know what, man? To be quite honest, man, you kind of joked on tongue-in-cheek that it's a business, but it is. And I wouldn't – if it came out that this was happening, I wouldn't – if it came out that it was happening in the NFL, I wouldn't be surprised, because money runs everything,
it
right?
It does.
Money runs everything. And if a matchup between the Niners and the Ravens is projected to pull in X, and a matchup between – the Jets and the Niners is expected to pull in X minus 10. And
why would you not push for it?
And here's the deal. This is the thing. The Lakers shot 27 free throws in the fourth quarter.
More free throws than the Kings.
27.
Where was the game at? Was it
18
in LA?
More total.
Where was that game at? I don't know if it was in Sacramento or LA. They shot You know what I'm not – that's
but
for another show.
This was the game that he – or he hits that three,
I think,
right?
Yeah, it was.
Or maybe that was game
five.
Maybe it extended the series.
Yeah.
They wanted to extend the series. According to Donaghy, two referees wanted to extend the series, and these were two referees that have a history of looking out for the best interest of the NBA.
He tried to put it off on the NBA.
He did. Come
so,
on, Tim.
Yeah, but look, I'm
he
not,
was scared of the mob.
Hey,
that's what it was.
That's another show. I don't want to detract you from your
Stern
from
denied
your
the
agenda.
Accusations,
man.
Calling Donaghy a singing cooperating witness.
I always like when you get the denial from like the CEO. It's like, oh, he was gonna say, yeah, the guy was right. We did embezzle $25 million.
We gotta have that quote no matter what, though.
Yeah. Or he acted alone.
Right.
He acted alone. Are you serious? Come on, man.
All right, so Zach, how are you feeling about the rest of the playoffs, man? Who do you think's coming out of the West? I actually think the Nuggets are streaking at the right time. I am not so sold that it's OKC or San Antonio, man.
Okay.
I'm not.
The West is wide open. And Denver's playing good ball. Jabbar brought up a point, though, that he said that Denver's gimmicky to him. And I kind of am pulling that way because once the possessions get cut down, will they still be able to, I mean, get out and run and do these different things? Because playoff basketball is totally different, right? It's a totally different game. So are they still going to get all those points in the paint? Are they still going to be able to get all those fast break points? You know, I don't know.
I push back a little bit on that statement. I just feel like, yeah, playoff basketball changes, but it changes because the teams get tight.
Yeah.
They get, you know, it's like, oh, we're not going to Toronto tomorrow. This is it. Like, if we lose, it's 2-1. If we lose, we're down 3-1 and nobody. So I feel like if Carl can infuse in them his personality, like, look, just like Florida Gulf Coast, like, look, we've been playing this way all year. If we lose, we lose. But if we play this way with confidence and some reckless abandon, then maybe we win. And I feel like if Carl can get those boys to believe, like, look, we're not going to change. We're going to push it, especially when they come to Denver, right? Yeah. We're going to push it, and we're going to play the way we play. And if we lose this way, we lose this way. Because I think that could work if they buy into it. Then that could, they could run some teams off the court. Because like you said, the other teams are going to – Clippers are going to be like, well, we need to slow down. San Antonio, we need to slow down. All the other teams, we need to slow down. And if the Nuggets are saying, look, we're playing our game.
And that's
how
the thing.
We roll.
There's, and I agree. There's all these myths in the NBA about the playoffs. Like, my thing is you have to be able to play half-court basketball. That's one thing that I've noticed in the playoffs. You got to be able to do that. I think they can play in the half-court because – they can use Ty Lawson to push it. If they do need help in the half court, they can go with Andre Miller. Their team's very versatile. Do you believe, though, in the playoffs about, like, rotations? Do you think it's good to shorten up your rotation? They play a lot of guys. So do you continue to play all of those guys, or do you shorten your rotation up to 8 to 9 guys, or continue to play the 10, 11 that they've been playing?
I think if this is me, I think you go – because we talked about this early in the year, like so 3 or 4, that – his strategy was get the top 10 players at every 5 positions,
yep.
Or every position.
Yep.
Get a top 10 player at every position.
Every position.
And I remember you talking about this. It was very insightful. I like that.
Because you can't bank your – if you're running an NBA team, you can't bank on Andrew Wiggins is 2 years away, so we're going to wait and get – you know what I mean?
Right,
and then maybe
can.
Wiggins done – nobody knew KD would be this good.
Right.
We thought – nobody really knew – I mean, LeBron was a little bit more of a sure thing,
right.
But still. So, like, I think that they have to say, if we want to win a championship, we can't just – what's the worst thing you can do in any kind of sport thing? Like, you do something all year – who was this they were talking about in the tournament? They were saying somebody – they were like, they do this all year – and then they get in this tournament, and they're playing against this low seed, and then they end up, you know, trying to change. I wish I could remember. They tried to change their game,
right.
And then they ended up losing. And it's like, I feel like the Denver Nuggets, I feel like they stay with 10 or 11, maybe some minutes shortened for those 10 or, you know, 9, 10, 11. But for the most part, because those guys are the guys that on the night that Iguodala's off, on the night that Gallo's off, on the night that Lawson's off, they're stepping in with 16 points. 4 for 5 from 3. So why do you want to take that away from them?
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Don't mess with a good thing.
And I was thinking about this too. When you're looking at like free agency and you're seeing like Chris Paul and you're seeing like Dwight Howard could potentially be a free agent. What shocks me about the NBA is that why wouldn't a superstar player want to play there?
Denver?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to? I mean, you put Dwight Howard with them. Like, if he decided to sign with Denver, you now are a legitimate Western. You could legitimately be the best team in the West.
But you're not attractive because you're not one of the big 4 or 5
exactly.
Teams.
And I think that
is ridiculous.
I think that's the most ridiculous thing about basketball is that, oh, you know, I need this bigger market to play in. I get more exposure. I do this. What player in his right mind, if he's looking to win and be the man, because that's what you want to do, right? You want to win. You want to be the man. Why wouldn't you go play in Denver?
Yeah, but I see, and I think that whole thing is a little overblown by ESPN. Because if that's the case, why LeBron would have made much more money just going to New York?
That's true.
You know, KD would have made much more money just playing out that rookie deal.
Right.
Taking the 1 year on what they offered and then leaving. Russell
Westbrook,
same thing.
Miami had a ring already, and they had D-Wade and Bosh waiting for him.
Right, but my point is, so that's my, I think that's my point, right, that the whole, and Miami's not even that big of a market. When we talk about big markets, we're talking Chicago,
New York, L.A.,
right? Like that's really it. Or you can kind of lump in like Boston, Philly, just because of the populace of the East Coast. But
right.
I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit overblown. Look at Tim Duncan. He had 3 chances to leave, right?
That's true.
I admire those guys.
Yeah, I would, but you're seeing more and more of, look, like, I'm going to get out of New Orleans, and I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to get out of Denver, and I'm going to go to New York.
Yeah, but Chris Paul,
you know what I'm saying?
Remember Chris Paul said he didn't want out. Their team sucked.
Yeah, their team was bad.
He wanted to be there, and they had, remember that, George, was Shin still,
yeah,
you know, somebody was the owner after Shin, but the owner just didn't care.
Yeah, he had to get out of there.
Yeah, if you're Chris Paul, do you like coming to a stadium with 8,000 people?
Yeah, I get that, yeah, too. And then trading David West, that didn't help
right,
him
he
either.
Was very upset
so
about that.
He didn't like that at
all,
which I agree with.
That.
But I guess maybe I'm focusing more on, like, Carmelo. Like, Carmelo, you had a great thing in Denver.
He did.
You know, you could be running the West right now, but I don't know.
This is what we're starting to face with Kevin Love.
Yeah. I can see him bolting.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
you want to win.
You want, but to me, okay, so winning and big market, in my mind, are mutually exclusive. Like, if Kevin Love wants to win, he can broker a deal to go play with KD
or Denver.
Yeah.
And Russell.
Yeah.
He's going to have to take less money.
Right.
And he's going to have to be the third wheel. He's not going to do that. So it's not really about winning.
Hey,
Is
it about being the man?
It's about a little bit about being the man and getting in a situation where you can be the man, still get your money, and win. And, like, you know, like I think Kevin Love is gone unless Glenn Taylor fires what's my guy?
Khan.
I think Kevin Love is gone because I just think that relationship is fractured,
fair.
And I
that's
think he's
fair.
Gone. But I don't even think Kevin really wants to. I don't really think he's. I think it's a little bit blown out of proportion that he just wants to leave. I think he wants to try to make his mark.
Yeah.
Here.
No, but I'm afraid of it starting to happen here.
Yeah.
Well, could. Yeah. I think it started to happen when they didn't give him his max, and then he.
Yes, yeah. Right, that, right. That definitely.
And a couple comments this year.
Scoring champ. KD or Melo, it's close. I think it's almost like, what, a half a point?
Man, Melo's hot right now. I got to go with Melo, man. I've said this on the show, and I'm pretty sure it's on record. I think that Carmelo Anthony is the best package of offensive player that you're going to find. He can shoot the three. He can shoot the mid-range. He can get to the basket. He can drive. He can post. There's really nothing that he can't do on offense. So I think that the way he's playing out of his mind right now.
10 wins in a row.
10 wins in a row. He had 50, 40. I'm going with Melo to win the scoring streak.
Yeah, the Knicks seems like it's okay.
KD is overtaken. He's fine.
Right now we got Kevin Durant at number one with 28.3. Carmelo Anthony at 28.1.
Oh,
followed by Kobe Bryant at 27.
So Carmelo's going for the title because
he's scoring a bunch of points,
right?
He's climbing this last 2 weeks.
Yeah, because he had been number three or four for a while, right?
Right.
Yeah, Kobe was right there the whole time.
Kobe was right there. Kobe was right there.
But can the Durantula sustain
Kobe's
this?
Kobe's steroids ran out.
Yeah,
he's got to get another shipment.
Would you stop it
he's
with
gotta
this,
He's got to get another shipment,
get some,
man.
Some whale piss in his
they're
coming
from,
whale
they're
piss.
They're coming from Habsburg,
would
Germany,
you
man.
Stop
they
it, man.
Doc, can you get Kobe? If he's listening over in Germany, get Kobe his stuff because the playoffs are coming up.
Listen.
And we need at least two big games from Kobe to advance the second round.
So this
right,
ends this
stop.
This ends regular
quick,
season,
quick,
right?
Those thoughts are expressed by KT. They're not expressed by Marcus Zachary.
The sentiments of the show are not expressed by KT.
Listen, I'm not on that with Kobe.
All right, Kobe, if you're listening, I'm just playing, baby. It's all good, man. We're just having fun. I don't think you're on. To be honest, man, I wouldn't be surprised, but Kobe's. His ego is big enough that he probably is like, I don't need this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, even if
be.
He could, he's probably like, I don't need this, man. I'm just going to go be me. So
yeah.
And Jabbar is right? I mean, to be fair, the dude does work super hard.
He works hard. He's always
he works
been
super
different.
Hard.
He does.
So
yep.
He has always been different in that regard, man.
No doubt.
Heat's run ended at 27. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because we weren't here. But that was impressive, man. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not hating on the 73 Lakers. I don't care. That record doesn't mean anything to me, right?
Okay.
In my mind, one, they still had the ABA,
mm-hmm.
like LeBron pointed out, so you had half of the good players were in another league.
Yep.
So you can't – come on, man. I mean, and then two, that's 40 years ago. Come on.
Well, I have theories like this. Let me float this by, that Charlotte of this year could beat the Lakers 40 years ago. I just think that it's not even a competition anymore.
It's a totally different game.
Right.
But you can't I agree with that, but you can't fault the Lakers of 73.
No, of course
right?
You can't fault them for
so
being at the time.
Yeah, you have to take it in context.
You got to measure it where it was.
But even if you take it in context, that's like saying the Heat didn't have to play any teams in the West because there were two different leagues.
Right.
Yeah, if the Heat didn't have to play any teams in the West, they could run off 40 straight.
Yeah.
They could run
you
off
know
50
what?
Straight.
And I don't want people to make – I think you can't make light of what they did, That is one of the best runs that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, and after watching the Bulls go 72-10, that's probably the second best feat that I've seen as a team.
That's true.
In my time of watching
basketball.
It
was impressive, man.
Especially, it was kind of a lethargic start, and they really just got going.
Yeah.
And how many different ways they won. I mean, they were losing by 20. They came back down from 20 and came back
27.
And 27. And, I mean,
yeah, it was
the
ridiculous.
Run was just good. And you could tell they really cared. They cared. At first, it was a lot of, I don't know. You know, we're just taking the game to game, the cliche thing.
Right.
You could tell, like, after the Bulls lost, they were upset.
Yeah, they were. And you know what? That's funny because I watched the game, and then in the locker room, they were talking like they just got eliminated from the playoffs.
They were upset. But you know what? What I like about it, and another thing that I liked about it, watching them play LeBron physical, LeBron hitting Boozer with the elbow, that's old school basketball. Yeah. That's how it used to be. That's how these rivalries were built. So I love to see that, and I love to see that LeBron, the thing that people knocked him for is like not having like that killer instinct, that passion. Oh, he's showing it. And it's going to be tough for anybody to knock that kid out.
I hate that I'll say this and we'll move on to this or that. I hate that the NBA allows this whole hard foul type of thing. I feel like a hard foul should be an intentional foul. Because by the spirit of the rule, an intentional foul is any foul on purpose.
Right.
A hard foul, when you hear, they're not trying to block the shot. Taj Gibson was trying to foul LeBron. He didn't go up. He didn't swipe at the ball. He grabbed, remember, he horse collared him.
Yeah.
He was trying to foul LeBron. Kurt Heinrich
was trying to foul LeBron.
So to me, that's an intentional foul. You should get two shots in the ball. I feel like there should be no hard fouls. Either you're legitimately trying to block or make a play on the ball, right? And that's a foul. Like, to me, that's a regular foul. Like, Zach drove in. I tried to block it. I swung, missed, and then came down on his arm. Like, that's a foul.
Here's the deal with that. I think, KT, you play basketball. You mean to tell me you never put a little extra in fouling the guy?
You do, but I'm saying that should be an intentional foul.
I'm opposite of this. We need the enforcers back. Yeah. Them dudes, and what happened to LeBron shouldn't happen again because somebody on the Heat's team needed to foul somebody else hard.
Then I agree
with
that.
That's how that rolls.
I agree with that. If they have, but then to me, that gets into thuggish. That's hockey.
That's fine.
And I think hockey's a thuggish sport for letting that kind of stuff go.
But KT, if you're the best player on my team, I'm a loyal guy, Tone. If you're the best player on my team,
right?
They foul you hard.
Like, you think Haslam
or somebody. And I'm a role player.
Right.
And I'm Haslam or I'm whoever. Listen.
And take care of that.
I'm going to come in. I'm taking care of that. Yeah.
But I don't think the Heat have that guy on their team. That's why LeBron had to end up doing it, and he didn't really end up doing any. Like, I'm just gonna keep it 100. If I was as big and strong as LeBron and playing in the league, because I was nasty when I played.
Right.
If I was as big and strong as he was, like, Boozer would have got a little bit more than that. Like, he may have. I'm not gonna say some of my colleagues may be listening to this show, like, oh my goodness, Carrick, what are you talking about? So I'm not going to say what I would have done. We'll talk about it off air.
You're big and nasty right now, man.
No,
so I can only imagine.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because to me, like I said, he could have hurt LeBron.
He could have.
Taj Gibson could have hurt LeBron. Yeah. We just saw what happened with the kid at Louisville. You could get hurt doing anything. He could hurt LeBron, then boom, he tears his shoulder, sprains his shoulder, tears his shoulder. That's it for the playoffs. That's it. All the season comes down to him doing a hard foul.
Yeah, but KT, come on, man. Mike took your boy, your favorite player, took that abuse from the Pistons. He took that abuse from the Knicks. These were way harder fouls.
Hold on. The thing I like about this is why Mike is still my favorite player. You say I wouldn't say he took the abuse. Mike got abused, but Mike, they knew after a while, like, okay, this is enough, right? Like, and then he did have Horace Grant, Chuck Oakley, like, he had his guys. Luke Longley would get in there. Cartwright.
Yep. Rodman. So yeah.
They tried, but Jordan was, like, way tougher mentally than LeBron. And Jordan, you know, Jordan would get in your face.
Jordan will strike back.
Yeah, Jordan wasn't like LeBron. LeBron is nice. Jordan would strike back. And this is something I read about Jordan in, it was one of the biographies or autobiographies. Jordan had a lot of fist fights. This is what was reported in the back. David Falk told him that, because remember, this is Gatorade, Nike, all yeah. that, late 80s, early 90s, blowing up, becoming the icon that he was now. Falk told him, you can't fight on camera, that because that's not what America wants their guy. So Jordan, hold on, Jordan fought backstage. Like, he would fight. This is what Jordan was fighting backstage. So
I agree.
Fighting his own teammates.
They were saying Jordan was, I remember one story I heard in Charlotte, like Jordan would go at you. Like, it was a Carmelo Anthony KG type of thing. Like, I'll find you back in the locker room, man, and we'll handle it.
That's why I respect the OGs of the 90s, man.
Now these guys are tweeting about each other's wives.
That's just lame. Let's proceed, man.
So give me this or that, man. We'll close it out.
All right, a little bit of this or that. Here we go. We're going to start with Zach. We got a good one here. The Glove or Jason Kidd?
Glove was just elected into the Hall of Fame today.
Yeah.
I got numbers back to back here.
I'm going Jason Kidd.
Is it because he's still playing?
I want to say this about Jason Kidd. One thing I like that Jason Kidd did, and one of the most remarkable things, look at where he's at on 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
That's one thing. He came in the league and he couldn't shoot. That was the biggest knock on Jason Kidd. He went in the gym. He got that. Now, I ain't saying he can just create his own 3-point shot, but he got that set 3-pointer down.
Shooting 46% in 2007.
That's crazy. From where he was at before. He won the championship in Dallas and played a huge role in that. I would have to say that Jason Kidd was better than Gary Payton.
Because of his improvement.
Yeah. And
coming in at 27% thing. And then that's top and year, 46%.
But you know what's crazy? I like Gary Payton I like Gary Payton better, but I think Jason Kidd is a better player.
I'm going to say Jay. Even at his at the height of both of their respective careers, I'm going with Jay Kidd. I thought Jay Kidd gave you a little bit more. I thought he was a little bit more polished. I thought he was just a better point guard overall.
Yeah.
So not that Glove wasn't
dope. No, Glove was cold.
But I think Jay Kidd was a better point guard.
Jay Kidd's just above Gary Payton in steals. He's way ahead of him in assists, but Payton's got him in average points. I got to go Gary Payton.
Okay.
Real quick, I got to see Gary Payton, Sean Kemp era.
Nice.
On my birthday, we had floor tickets to the Wolves down at the Target Center, and I got to bring like 6 friends just sitting like on the fold-up chair under the hoop, you know?
Nice.
For KT set. So that was just awesome. It was Zerbiak's birthday. It was like the same birthday as mine.
You see how he tried to sneak some? Come on, Tone. What was that, man?
He got to sit in the front like
a
KT.
Little
KT. Nice.
Come on, Tone.
We're just saying,
KT,
you know,
likes the ball.
He likes the ball.
Easy.
You like nice things.
Easy.
Man. Sean Kemp, man. That guy is a tragedy, man.
That guy
was so athletic. Have you seen him, man?
He fell apart.
Remember when he tried to come back to the mat? He's
that
like
lockout,
pounds,
lockout
man.
Hurt him.
It did.
Man.
The lockout hurt him. I forgot about it. Lockout of 97. The lockout hurt a lot of cats, man.
It did.
Hurt a lot of cats.
All right, let's bounce it back to KT. Russ Smith or Trey Burke?
Listen, I would have said Trey, just because I haven't really seen Louisville. I like Rusty Smith, though. I like Russ Smith. Gives you 40 minutes of speed, pressure, ball pressure. I've never seen a guard pressure one-on-one full court like Russ Smith. If Michigan makes it through, and then when it's not Russ, it's the other, who's the
Peyton Siva.
Siva, who's not chopped liver.
No, he's a good player.
So Trey Burke is going to have a hard time defensively against these guards, man, if he makes it.
I think we're going to see these two match up.
I'm gonna take my man Russ, man. I like what Russ did, and they beat Duke, and I hate Duke. So.
And you know what? And I'm nitpicking here, but I watch Russ Smith single handedly blow the game against Notre Dame.
What?
He turns the ball over so much, he's so erratic. I can't.
What?
He's a good player. That dude is so out
is
of control
okay.
at times, man.
Okay.
And I'm talking
I'm just
about
really
some
now
of the
getting hit
dumbest
to him, so.
Plays I've ever seen. I mean, even the commentator is like, the game went to like 5 overtimes.
I remember
Louisville's
that
winning the game.
I remember
he
that.
Just, there's 40 seconds left. Instead of pulling the ball out, he goes and tries to shoot on 3 guys. They get the rebound, come down, hit
Zach,
a 3.
That's his game, though,
hey,
baby.
He's too erratic. I like to know what I'm going to get.
Okay.
And you'll never know what you're going to get. I can see him. He could go in the Final Four and have a great game. He can go in and turn the ball over 8 times. I know what I'm getting from Trey Burke. I'm taking Trey Burke.
Okay.
I'm taking Trey Burke, too. I've just got more minutes watching him.
Okay.
So, but it'll be very interesting to see these guys match up.
I bet. I know one thing, that Trey Burke doesn't want to see Russ Smith full
court. Yeah, Russ Smith is a beast.
From watching the Duke game, because he was on the Duke game, I could see how he could be an out-of-control player. Because he does take a lot. He took one-on-three.
And oh, yeah, he'll do that.
And Clark Kellogg was like, young fella.
Berea style.
Going in.
I love Clark Kellogg.
The pumpkin. Yeah. Clark calls the basketball the pumpkin. I like – Clark's got some good sayings.
I like
and he
him.
Doesn't say them trying to be funny. He says like them as part dude. Of his he's normal good, thing. Yeah, good. He is good. He's good. I hated Bill –
You don't like Bill Raftery?
No, I love Bill Raftery. Oh, okay. Bill, who was the guy that did it with Nance before Clark just got in there like 3 years ago?
I know who you're talking. Yeah.
Bill, I forget his name. But him and Dick Vitale had like a little rivalry.
Right. Yeah.
So I wish I knew his name. But no, I'm taking
You got Russ. Okay. Russ.
Good. I'm excited to see him play. Well, let's bounce it back to Zach here for the last one. Seattle or Sacktown?
It's a battle between these two.
You know what? I know. Seattle needs that.
KT, explain it to me a little bit and to the listeners here.
Oh, yeah. Zach, do you want to explain it?
Go ahead. No, you
okay,
explain
so
it.
Okay, so Sacramento has the Kings right now. The Seattle group, I forget, Chris Anderson, I think is his name. He's like $1.2, $1.3 billion. I forgot what he did. But he worked with one of the guys from Microsoft to put together a bid. They're going to build a new arena. And David Stern's not going to give him a new team. So they need to go out and buy a team. And the team for sale was the Maloofs. So, from what I understand, they had some kind of lawyered agreement in principle to buy the team, and then KJ and some rich guys, I think it was a guy from 24 Hour Fitness, and another, Ron Burkle, a movie guy, put together some cash, and they're going to try to keep him in Sacramento. And so...
So what does it come down to here?
It's going
to
come down... This is why the NBA is a racket. It's going to come down to 29 other rich guys, right, saying...
Just becoming investors and... Yeah.
Which rich guy can make us more rich? That's really what it's going to be.
Here's my thing with that. And I heard that didn't this guy give them like $200 million already? I heard he gave them $200
million. The guy from Seattle?
Yeah. And so what he's saying, but I heard that he may not be able to get his money back through like a technicality if this team is not sold or something like that. I don't understand all of the language.
He'll get
in
his
that
money back.
Like, but yeah, he'll probably, yeah. But here's the deal. This is what. The Maloofs don't want Sacramento, and
they're
come
busters,
on, man!
Though.
Like, do
they're
you remember?
Busters.
You remember how excited they were when they were winning and all of that? That's why I respect Mark Cuban more and more. Like every day,
he's a real owner.
The Maloofs, they were just nothing. But
the Maloofs were Mark
the
Cuban when they were winning.
Yeah, when they were winning, right. You're not winning. Your team is terrible. Your organization is terrible. Put
plus,
them in
they're
Seattle,
poor,
man.
Poor businessmen, right? Like,
yeah, they're terrible.
When you get to the point where you have enough money to own a professional team. You should be so wealthy that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if that team, season tickets go down or television revenue goes down, like, that doesn't affect Glenn Taylor. Right?
Yeah, don't
like,
be banking on that team to pay your mortgage.
Yeah, that's not going
to
affect, whoever owns the Rockets or Mark Cuban.
It should be a smaller business investment
it
of what you have
going on. It should be a
hobby.
In my mind, it should be a hobby because financially it doesn't make a ton of sense unless you own – the Bulls or the Knicks or the Lakers,
unless
right?
you're a huge fan.
I'm disappointed that they're even in this situation where they need this money. Like, oh, we need this money because we're not rich if we don't sell it for half
and
a
how
million.
Excited would Seattle be? How excited would they
sucks.
Be? And then the way they lost their team, I feel bad for Seattle.
Yeah.
You lost them. You were pretty bad. I mean, you were okay with Ray Allen and
Rashard
Lewis.
Well, they had
Lewis.
KD.
Yeah, you had KD for 1 year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now you see the success of Oklahoma City,
yeah, that's
and I know
hard.
Yeah, whatever
it
happened
hurt.
To those guys.
So that's what I'm saying. So to me, I would say I'm rooting for Seattle to get that team.
Yeah, when I said racket before, like it's just and we went through this with the Vikings. I just feel like it's a shame the way that these owners are able to hold local and state governments hostage.
Oh my goodness!
Like why are we building a $1 billion stadium for Ziggy? So that's why I say, like, they hold the citizens hostage, and it's just they make money off of it. And to me, it's just a money grab, and I hate it.
It is.
So Zach, you want to see it go to Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle all day.
How about you, KT?
I'm going with this is nothing against the people of Sacramento. I'm with Zach that I just don't like the way that they own the team. It seems like they were front runners.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the best way to describe
and then
them.
They, now that it went bad and their money went bad, now it's like, well, we need to get this half a billion. It's the same thing with Frank McCourt in L.A., right? Like, then when their money went bad,
yep.
Now it's like, oh, well, we need to sell because we need this money. And mm-hmm. I don't like that. So.
This is ironically the closest team to Seattle is Sacramento, just geographically.
Yeah.
I hate to see any city lose a team. But, you know, going back to the Supersonics, they got just screwed there.
Yeah, they did.
That's terrible. But I think the fans in Sacramento might be making that hour and a half drive to Golden State to watch those games.
Yep.
Yeah, is it an hour and a half?
It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Man,
hour and 20 minutes,
Golden,
no traffic.
And they're a better team anyway. Root for Golden State.
Golden State's moving to San Francisco.
That. They're going to the –
I don't like that.
Are they physically right now in Oakland?
Yeah, they are. That's why they get so –
I'm going to go see a playoff game in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I'm going to try.
Nice.
Yeah, they're moving to that whole moving to Frisco is a money grab too, right?
So what's the deal? It's still
lives in Oakland. He said that there's very strong dynamics in the Bay Area in terms of Oakland and what you know.
Well, look at the Niners and the Raiders.
At,
I mean,
the
why
A's and the Giants, right?
Right. Yep. Like, right. Yep.
Every time I watch the Giants, if I do watch an A's game, which I don't, but if I just see like on SportsCenter, it looks like it's 10 people in the crowd.
Right. You know? Well, Oakland's like the Bronx of the West Coast. You know, there's a beautiful city, and then it's like, you know.
Man, Oaktown is kind of hood, man. I ain't want to cross that bridge, man. So yeah, we'll see.
Good documentary, the 30 for 30, about the Oakland Raiders effect.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Chappelle did a good 10 minutes on that, too. It was pretty funny. All right. We are we're out for Zach. Do the tones. KT got game.
Peace. Request the flow. I might be busy. I sound more baby, y'all. Some things you just can't cancel, you know. Because I never phone need.